Turn with me now to the chapter we've read together in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. And we'll turn to consider the words, the opening words of that chapter. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and so on. Now, up until this particular part of God's word, of the Epistle to the Romans, that is, in the first four chapters of the Epistle, Paul has been writing about justification by faith alone, and argues against the self-righteous legalists who are emphasizing salvation and redemption and justification in particular through the works of the law. And as you all know, he speaks of Abraham, how he was justified. Even as he goes on to argue how the rite of circumcision that was his was given him before the law. And that is something we have to remember, that what happened under the Old Testament economy was that the Israelites, the people of God, again and again began to rest more and more upon the works of the law. Now, that's not surprising, because the law had been given them. And, of course, it was required of them to keep the law. That was the covenant they were under. But we know that there were those who, illuminated by the Holy Spirit, were able to see through all the symbols and all the sacrifices and the various rituals of the Old Testament economy, were able to recognize that there was a person who was to redeem them, the son of David, and that he was to come, and ultimately he was going to restore them and bring them to be a powerful and mighty force in the world. Again, you remember how John the Baptist even asked the question, "Art thou he who should come?" They were always looking to the coming Messiah, in other words. That is the true Lord's people, but in general, most of them were under the law, under the yoke of the law. And Christ in his mercy spoke to them, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You don't have to remain under this burden of law keeping. And that is what is true of us tonight. We don't have to. We're not invited to come and burden ourselves with law works. Some people are afraid of coming to church, even in case they are brought into bondage by the preaching from the pulpit. But we know that in our pulpits we are given not the law as a means of our justification, but the finished work of Christ as the only antidote to our sins and the only way of acceptance into God's presence. Now, having all said all that he has up until chapter 5, in chapter 5 and from there onwards, except for a break for a little, right into chapter 8 in particular, we see that he proceeds to write about the fruits that follow after having been justified. Now, the emphasis in the epistle is, of course, upon justification. Justification by faith and by faith alone. Not by the works of the law. Not by anything we are or we can do. And God's people tonight here know that they are God's people not because of anything they've done. Not because of anything they are. But because of what Christ has done. And what Christ is, they glory in Christ and in the finished work of Christ. Now, the term justification means to acquit or to declare righteous. Now, here in Scripture, it means forgiving the sins of the of guilty men and accounting them righteous, fully righteous, freely by His grace. God has done this. He has justified them. He has brought them into this relationship with Himself. Now, this justification is theirs, not on the ground of their own works, but only on the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only on account of all that Christ has done. Not just on the cross, but throughout His life, He was fulfilling the Father's will. Throughout His life, He was devoted to God the Father. My meat and my drink, says He, is to do the will of Him that sent me, so that every moment of His life, He is fulfilling the law. He is doing that what is right in God's sight. Now, no one up until His coming had ever done that since the fall of man. The Jews, the Israelites, the people of God under the Old Testament economy sought to do it, but they couldn't. Try as they would, they were coming short. So there were all these sacrifices, all these many rituals, whereby they, quote, that was according to the law. The law had been given. These were God's words that had been related to them to do these things. And by their works, they would be justified. But of course, by the works of the law shall no man be justified, God says in His word. But the law came, the law was given to bring man to his senses and see that he could not and cannot. And if anyone has ever sought to keep the law, anyone here, maybe you're here tonight and you're seeking to keep the law. You think if you do this and you do that and you don't do that, don't do this or don't do that, then you will be saved. But nowhere in the Bible are you told that. You are told in the New Testament, you are told in many ways under the Old Testament also, that whatever we are, whatever we do, will not of itself please God. We are not pleasing to God. We are sinners before God. Now, I want to look tonight with you very briefly. First of all, the fact of our justification. Now, the wonderful and marvelous fact is that God declares to us that we are now just before Him whilst still sinners. That comes up in the chapter. Whilst we're still sinners, God did this. It was as sinners that you and I are justified. And if you're a Christian tonight, you are justified, but you don't have to think that you are perfect. You and I are not perfect. Justified, yes, but not perfect. We must differentiate between what is meant by justification and sanctification. What happens is that God righteously judges you and I as free from guilt. But you say, I feel so guilty. Even as a Christian tonight, you may feel so guilty. But you see, our redemption, our justification, doesn't depend on our feelings. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trusting in the Lord Jesus. Why is it that we are justified? Well, it is because Christ has placed Himself in our place. When you think of your justification, always think of Christ, not yourself. Always think of Christ. And if you keep your eye on Christ, the devil won't be so easily You won't be so easily led, rather, by the devil to question whether you are justified. Because if your eye is on Christ, you'll see that your justification is entirely in him. What happened in Christ's coming into the world, in his fulfilling the law and dying the accursed death of the cross, God punished our sins in him. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that the righteousness of God might be in us, that we might be acceptable to him. This is the wonderful thing about Christianity. It's all due to what God is and what God has done. I remember an old man praying in Gaelic, of course. I try and translate into English as best I can. He began his prayer more often than not with, "Lord, help us and bless us according to what you are in yourself." Do you get it? He was praying that God would bless him according to what God is. Now that involves with what God has done. He is the eternal God who sent his Son into the world, who redeemed us, who reconciled us to himself. The great mistake that people make is that they think they have to do this, but we can't. And what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, as Paul writes further on in chapter 8 of this chapter, what it was weak through the flesh, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin and condemned sin in the flesh. The Christian's condemnation is over and done with. The condemnatory judgment of God's people is over, because they have believed in Christ and have been justified through faith in Christ. They are now just, they are now righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. But if you are not in Christ, if you're not exercising faith in Christ, then you are still under the wrath and curse of God as a sinner. Now, it isn't that the Christian is no longer a sinner. He is. But he's a justified sinner. He's accepted by God for Christ's sake. Will you not see this, friend? As I said, those who are outside of Christ are still under the judgment of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. Friend, you don't have to wait till the day of judgment in order to be condemned. The Bible tells us that if we believe him not, we are already condemned. We're already under the righteous judgment of God. That is true of all sinners, whoever we are, wherever we are. And you know, if only we would grasp this more and more, we'd think less of ourselves. We would stop pointing the finger. We'd be ready and willing to accept one another for what we are. God has done that, after all. And God does that tonight for us, if we're in Christ. And if we're outside of Christ, there's no way of escape. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Now, what is the basis on which God accepts us as righteous in his sight? Our faith? No. It is Christ and his finished work. Faith is but the instrument by which we receive Christ. We receive Christ and accept him as offered to us in the gospel. We do that by faith. But as Christ, who is our justification? It is Christ who is our Savior. It is Christ who saves us, not our faith. Otherwise, you see, we would be on very, very unsafe ground, because our faith, and you know that, wavers. Sometimes it's very difficult even to find at all. But we may be strong today and weak tomorrow. Some people have stronger faith than others. But that's not so with our justification. We are accepted now and always in Christ. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, nor ever shall be, nor ever can be. Because those who have Christ and are saved by Christ, they are in Christ. They're in the new covenant. Christ is the head of the covenant of grace. We're no longer under the old covenant. That has passed away. Try and grasp that you are in Christ, in the new covenant. He is the head of the covenant, and we are in him. And he has fulfilled all the demands of the covenant, or the requirements rather, of the covenant of grace. Haven't we got then a wonderful Saviour tonight? When you say, Scripture says, we're justified by faith. That's true, but I've already said that faith is but the instrument of our justification. We are accepted as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. But then you might say, but I don't feel justified. Remember what I said earlier on, it's not depending on our feelings. A justified sinner may feel anything but that at times. But that doesn't mean to say he's not justified, because you see, God doesn't change. He's not like us. And the moment we believed, we were justified. We were accepted as righteous in God's sight. There's no condemnation anymore. Now, we must differentiate between justification and sanctification. That's something I was just trying to get to earlier on when I left. Justification is an act on the part of God. It's out with us. It is God who justifies. It's an act performed by God once and for all on our behalf. We are now safe in Christ, and we will be safe in Christ forever. Therefore, we will be in heaven forever with the Lord. Now, sanctification, on the other hand, is a process that follows our justification. Sanctification is based, if you like, on our justification. So the work of Christ in saving us was finished on the cross in the highest sense, but yet continues. The work of Christ continues in our sanctification through the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, remember, is the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Sanctification is a progressive thing. We go on in faith, going on unto perfection. The goal God has in view in our salvation, in our justification, and then our sanctification and so on, is glorification. But we can't get to glory until we're perfectly sinless. And that we are not. But God, who began a good work, will continue that work until the day of Jesus Christ. And that work goes on in God's Holy Spirit working in us. But you say, I don't feel being sanctified. I feel more sinful today than ever I did. Well, when is a saint I've known who went through the exact same experience again and again? But this is on account of the fact that as we are being sanctified, God the Holy Spirit is revealing to us more and more of who we are and what we are. That we are guilty sinners by nature. Sin is still in us. And indeed we begin to learn things about ourselves. Had someone told us that we would be like that one day, they would never have believed them. But now we must believe them because we know it. We sense it, we feel it. As I said, we don't feel our justification, we certainly feel our sanctification. Not in the sense we would like to. But very, and of course, there's another side to it where we do at times rejoice in the work of God in our souls when we recognize that there are certain things true about us that's not true about the worldly man. We recognize that the graces of God in us flourish from time to time, and we know that we are able to be something we were not and could not ever be but by the grace of God, but by the fact that God has done great things for us. God has done great things for us and is doing great things for us. He regards us as his own, and he looks upon us as his own, and that on the ground of what Christ has done. Only on the ground of what Christ has done. Only on account of the obedience of Christ. That is the basis of our acceptance with God, not our faith. Our faith is essential. We must believe. We must believe, or we die. But if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, in what he has done, if we are come to realize that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, that our works avail nothing, then all is well. We then lean upon Christ. Remember how in the Song of Solomon we read of the church ascending out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. She is in the wilderness. That's an uneasy place to be in. And it's not easy for you as a Christian to be in this world and to know how worldly your heart is. But in the final analysis, you are leaning upon your beloved. So that you can say, my beloved is mine and I am his. It's good when you can say that. We can't always say it, but we should always say it. In other words, faith is resting upon Christ and what he has done. And our justification is in him as we believe in him. The moment we believe, we are accepted as legally altogether without sin and guilt in God's eyes. Now you and I find that very difficult to accept, but that's what is true. Because of Christ, he went ahead every step of the way, so that when you fail and I fail, oh, how great our failings are, how often they are. But isn't it good to be able to look to Christ and say, oh, but he didn't fail. When you're tempted and perhaps fall, the devil will tell you, you're not a child of God. Ah, but your acceptance isn't in what you are or are not. It's in Christ and what he is and what he has done. He has gone before you. In that very thing you have failed in, Christ has conquered. Christ has gone before you. He fulfilled all these things. Difficult, although it may be for you and I to recognize that or accept that. Now, just a word or two on the blessings that flow from our justifications. They are these: peace with God. Peace with God, first of all. Now, I believe that if people are honest with themselves, there is nothing more they would like to have than peace. Especially peace of conscience. And if God is in his mercy visiting you, you would give anything to be able to say, I have peace with God. My problem is I do not feel that I'm at peace with God. How can you have peace with God? Well, the word of God here clearly tells us that in Christ we are accepted, and through him we have peace with God. That is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace toward God. We are accepted by a reconciled God. We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. When we are justified, we have peace with God. Now that peace is with God. You may be conscious at times that you have peace with God, but then perhaps tomorrow it's gone. You have anything but peace, but the peace that is yours in Christ remains. There is always peace for the believer in God, because he doesn't change. He's at peace with us. He has reconciled us to himself by the death of his Son, and we're forever at peace with him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize is that peace with God is a state. It's a state. A covenant state. You read of the covenant of peace. Well, here is the head of that covenant, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, you're forever at peace with God. And God is at peace with you. Oh, he may chastise you when it's necessary. But that's love. God loves his own with an everlasting love. The peace, in other words, is on both sides. God is at peace with us. And you are at peace with God. Why? Because you've seen the satisfaction Christ has given all the requirements of God on our behalf. He has met them all. You have seen how God is satisfied with the offering of Christ on the cross, in that he rose him, that he raised him from the dead, and he is now at the right hand of God. You know that that is so. And you know that that is something that is forever the same. But on the other side, there is this also. You are satisfied with the satisfaction Christ has given. If you are not a believer in Christ, and if this subject is boring to you, if it means absolutely nothing to you, you know nothing of this. That is being satisfied, not with yourself, not with everything you've done, but with what Christ has done and Christ is. You see him perfect. Thou art fairest of all men. Grace in thy lips doth flow. He is the altogether lovely one to your soul. And he is the one you wish to put above everyone else. In him we have a mediator between God and man. We have Christ as our great high priest who has entered the holiest of all. He is the one who knows us and understands us and will meet us along the way continually. Then he says we have access or entrance by faith. Again, faith is the means. By faith we have access into God's presence. This was clearly pictured or typified in what happened once a year under the Old Testament, when the great high priest in Israel, having had the blood shed, the animal, took the blood and entered into the holiest of all, there to sprinkle the blood. He there was interceding for the people. And Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, speaks of Christ having entered not into the tabernacle made by hands, that is, the tabernacle in the wilderness, but he has entered into heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for us. For us. He has appeared, he was in the presence of God from all eternity, but he's here now in our nature, having done a work, completed a work, having shed his blood. He went in on the basis of his shed blood. Had Christ not shed his blood, if that were possible, of course it wasn't, because that was God's purpose and he was at one with the Father in all that was happening there on the cross. Had that not happened, he wouldn't have been given the place that he is. He is the one who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and yet he made himself of no reputation, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But did it stop there? No. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name. Why is he given a name that is above every name? Why is he now at the right hand of God in our nature? Because of what he did when he shed his blood. He entered in and he lives evermore there to intercede for us. Then there is rejoicing. I must finish. Rejoicing. When last did you rejoice in the Lord? You remember when you did rejoice once. But why are we not rejoicing now? Is it not because we're not looking unto Jesus? Is it not that we're so, as it were, seeped in our own self-righteousness, together with our worldliness and our materialism? We're not looking unto Jesus. We're forgetting what Jesus is, who Jesus is, what he has done for us. As you did initially, you rejoiced in him with a joy that was unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't it wonderful that that is true? I remember shortly after I was converted, meeting someone I hadn't seen for 2 or 3 years. And the person stopped and looked at me and said, "I've never seen you look so happy." Now that is a humbling fact about God's people. They, in their rejoicing, can have an impact upon the world. Our being downhearted and morose and so on simply spoils our witness. I'm not saying that we don't have reason to be cast down. We have every reason to be. And the devil will do as much as he can to keep us from rejoicing. But God says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in what God has done for us in Christ. Not what we are, not what we'll ever be, but because of what he is. And then we have finally the hope of glory. We'll be received into glory again because of Christ. Not because of our justification in itself, or even our sanctification, but because of Christ. Because he is the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, is now in the midst of the throne. He is there as our great high priest, as King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one who is our hope for eternal life. Let us remember this, that justification and glorification are inseparable. We feel, in a sense, that that can't be, because we can't just grasp that we're going to be glorified. We can't just grasp the fact that this is what God has in mind for us. And again, this may be what's wrong with me and the rest of us. So often we forget that this is not our home. Christ has gone to prepare a place for us, and he will take us to be with himself. There's nothing he desires more once he's finished the work in us. It's all of grace. He has begun it. He will complete it. In Romans chapter 8, we read those words. Those whom God foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the likeness of his own Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestined, them he also called. Those whom he called, them he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. Amen. May God bless our few thoughts and his word. Let us pray.